Hello and welcome to the audio blog. I'm Paolo and with me is
Jason,
as usual, and we're back for another episode on flavor. We started talking about flavor, we talked about spiciness and saltiness. Last time instead we talked about basically just sweetness, and there was a lot of interesting things that we discovered. And today we're going to continue and touch on another basic taste, right Jason?
Yeah, my favorite flavor. Umami.
Umami.
Yes. Of course. It's got the best name, I think.
Because it's Japanese, I guess. Hey, umami is an interesting one. Very interesting, because there's obviously the four tastes. And everybody knows them. And, you know, when I was in elementary school, there were just four of them. You know, saltiness, sweetness, sourness, and bitterness. But then somebody came around and there you go. Another one.
Yeah, it was this guy, Professor Ikeda. And in 1905... I think it was, he did some experiments on Japanese dashi. So dashi is like the broth that's the basis of a lot of Japanese cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made from kombu, which is a seaweed,
okay,
and katsuobushi, which is dried bonito flakes. And so what he did was he did some experiments on this broth because there's no real flavor to it, if you just have it on its own, that you would identify as being one of the four traditional tastes. It's actually quite tasteless. It's more of a sensation. But it's definitely there, and it's definitely important to use it for all of these Japanese traditional dishes. So he did some experiments, and he managed to isolate the source of the flavor that he was, mm-hmm, he was having. And it was something that he called umami.
Yeah, it's not saltiness. If anything, one could think that it's somewhat similar to saltiness. It turns out that it goes through a completely different type of receptor. And normally saltiness in itself is based on a particular receptor for those ions, especially, you know, chloride and sodium. But in this case, we're talking a particular molecule inside our taste buds that is receptive to this particular other molecule that umami is made of.
Right, that's the glutamate.
Exactly.
Molecule, right? Right, so this is the same molecule that's the basis for MSG, monosodium glutamate. Right?
Yeah, that's the name of the industrial preparation, correct?
That's right. Yeah,
that's how you make it. Because you can make it, that's the interesting bit.
Yeah, and one really interesting thing about MSG is how bad an image it has over here. I think it's the name, monosodium glutamate. This sounds like it's got to be bad for you.
Yeah.
In Japan, when they market it, it's marketed under the name Ajinomoto, which means the source of the flavor.
Oh.
This is a name that comes from Professor Ikeda's story about how he isolated the source of the flavor. And it's a very common thing to use if you're cooking at home. If you don't have time to make a proper dashi from the wakame and the katsuobushi, then you just use some of this ajinomoto, which is basically MSG, and use that as the basis for your recipes. Of course, real serious chefs will tell you that no, never use that.
Yeah,
it's cheating, and it's just you know, if you're in a real hurry. But it's kind of similar to the way we use bouillon over here instead of making your own soup stock. It's kind of used in the same way.
That's correct, and shockingly, it's exactly in the same preparation in Italy. If you don't have time for a proper broth with which to make your risotto, you will use stock cubes, which is some kind of condensed flavor. You will think it comes from somebody that made a big broth and condensed it all into a small cube, but it's actually not the case. If you read the ingredients, there's MSG there sometimes it may not be there. There's salt, sometimes huge amounts of salt, and that's how it really works. It dissolves in the water, it brings back all that flavor that you would otherwise get from boiling meat, and that's very similar. Because it's in boiled meat as well. So again, we use it a lot too. We don't like the name. And we don't like reading it in the ingredients in restaurant for exactly the reason you said. It's a bit cheating when you can actually get this molecule from the supermarket and just place it in there and get the same flavor as you would boil meat for 3 hours. I don't know.
Yeah, you're overloading your sense for MSG or for umami by adding extra stuff. Yeah, that's how you get the Chinese buffet
Chinese taste. Takeout.
Yes.
Well, I guess when you put too much of it, then yeah, it's delicious maybe as you eat it, but it will very quickly become revolting because it's just too much.
Yeah, umami has a very long aftertaste that stays with you, right? Yes.
Does the word umami mean something?
Umai is another colloquial way to say delicious.
Oh, okay.
In Japanese. And when you... It's an adjective, and when you nominalize it, you'd say umasa, which means deliciousness.
Okay.
Deliciousness. But another common way to nominalize adjectives in Japanese is instead of using sa, to use mi. So umami could be another way to nominalize umai. I think in this case is actually the last character is for taste, aji. So I think that's probably where it comes from, but I'm not exactly sure etymology is.
Okay, I get it. So aji is taste, but you don't pronounce it, so it will be umai aji. Forgive my...
Yeah. Well, there's the different pronunciations of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
So mi is another way to say aji. They're both valid pronunciations.
Okay. I get it.
Yeah.
I understand.
So you say umami.
It's fascinating Japanese for me. Okay, so yeah, we understand this molecule is there, we taste it, we like it, in moderation perhaps, and then it's actually present in nature, in a lot of things, and not just the roasted meats, the mushrooms, we know it's there, but also, surprisingly, I was very shocked to read that it's in tomatoes, but thinking about it actually makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense, yeah, because you can, you know, just have a tomato sandwich, for
That's
instance,
right.
And it doesn't feel like you're missing something. You still got that meaty flavor. Tomato is a very meaty vegetable.
It does.
Maybe that's why we think it's meaty.
Or that's why it goes with meat, like in the ragu and all the preparations. Also, sun-dried tomatoes, those are absolutely meaty. They're very meaty in flavor and texture.
That's true.
They are used a lot in vegetarian recipes as a meat replacement, in fact. So like in a quiche, for instance, you often find them in there. And, you know, the bite is very much like meat.
I had a roommate once that used to put sun-dried tomatoes on his pizza.
Well, it's a topping, you know. Yeah. And I can see if your vegetarian friend was used maybe to eating meat and eating maybe salami or pepperoni, then he would probably be a very good replacement for that. It has all that umami taste to it. And the texture that you maybe like. So that's totally a good option. Approved. Okay, so we talked about umami, the fifth taste that apparently is everywhere and you can also buy at the supermarket. So till next time, thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.